Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, January the 20th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome everyone to the show. We are honored, delighted that you've chosen to join us once again today in this awesome process of learning first century Aramaic forgiveness. I happen to be sitting in a beautiful screened backyard where when you come in the front door, you pass the grapefruit and the orange trees. It's about 70 degrees and sunny here, maybe 70, a little more than 70 actually. Absolutely beautiful day, just awesome. And our project, of course, is the project of first century Aramaic forgiveness. And on our way here, we took care of an errand or two today and went to see an internationally recognized portrait artist who happens to come to our classes. And if you look on our website, you'll see the pictures that he's taken. His name is Pepito, and Pepito asked us to come back and review our photos. So we did that today. And Pepito is also a Course in Miracles teacher, so we got to chat about a few things, and he came across he shared with me a quote from Einstein. And in an interview, Einstein makes this quote, or says this puts out this idea, and it was done in the context of an interview where he was being interviewed about the general theory of relativity. And Einstein, in that interview, said, but there's something far more important. And, you know, when you listen to those words, something far more important than the theory of relativity, this has got to be pretty important stuff. And it ties right into our conversation from yesterday with, you know, we spoke about the film American Sniper and how this young man conceived in what appears to be some pretty duty, heavy-duty rage is shown or spoken to by his father in very stern terms as a very young man, as his father takes his belt and lays it on the table like he's getting ready to whip somebody and instructs this man as to what kind of a world he lives in. The young man buys this world, dies by the world that he is instructed in, ultimately. And in the intervening years, he becomes the United States champion, the United States record holder for the most kills as a sniper, to be his honor. I honor him for the fact that he thought he was doing what was on track and what was required of him. But maybe if he'd spoken to Einstein a little earlier, he might have had a different mindset. And here's what Einstein said. More important than the general theory of relativity. So he says, I think the most important question facing humanity is the universe a friendly place? This is the first and most basic question all people must answer for themselves. For if we decide that the universe is an unfriendly place, then will we use our technology, our scientific discoveries, and our natural resources to achieve safety and power by creating bigger walls to keep out the unfriendliness and bigger weapons to destroy all that which is unfriendly. And I believe that we're getting to a place where technology is powerful enough that we may either completely isolate or destroy ourselves as well in this process. If we decide that the universe is neither friendly nor unfriendly, and that God is essentially playing dice with the universe, then we're simply victims to the random toss of the dice, and our lives have no real purpose or meaning. But, Einstein says, if we decide that the universe is a friendly place, then we will use our technology, our scientific discoveries, and our natural resources to create tools and models for understanding that universe, because power and safety will come through understanding its workings and its motives. And if you go back into the Aramaic, you remember we've talked about laws of living in law, and law is just about how it all works. Right on track with Einstein here. So Einstein goes on to say, God does not play dice with the universe. Your decision will determine how you experience your world. Whoa! Michael, you mean we've got something to do with how the world works around us? We, Michael, are you saying we're creators? Well, pretty much sounds like that's what Einstein's saying. And I'm in full agreement with him. Go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago. He says, ask and you receive. And most people are driven by an insane worldview that human life does not belong in the universe and human life does not exist in the universe. Unfortunately, it's become pretty much an expression of truth, the second statement, that human life is just about gone. And I think it has been disappeared by those who've made the decision that this is an unfriendly place, therefore we must murder someone in order to survive. And if we change our minds, then we have the opportunity to come back to true humanness. We have the opportunity to experience ourselves as this awesome presence of love that we are created to be. You and I are designed to function, designed to feel, designed to experience from an awesome connected space of love. That's what humans are designed for. And, you know, it's almost classic Satanism that such hostility and fear has taken over the world that we spend over half of the national income on weapons to kill. So our question is, our thought for the day, is what are you going to do about it? Have you been brought up in a world that says this is an unfriendly place, you got to protect yourself, you got to defend yourself, you got to fight an enemy? Or have you been brought up in a world where you know that human life is trustworthy? It's awesome. And if you ever doubt that, if you ever forget the truth of the answer to this question, just go back, go find somebody who's got a newborn and ask if you can hold it. Hold the newborn. Truth of what human life is. And maybe, just maybe, we can restore it to the planet. Of course, in order to restore it to the planet, the first place we have to restore it to is our own minds. I love how Yeshua says it. Why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye while you have a beam in your own? And you'll notice that most of the world is looking around at what's wrong with everybody else. As opposed to, what if I simply create something awesome, sweet, beautiful, tremendous, that's a contribution to humanity? What if I forget the rest and move forward? Of course, the non-being mind, the mind that thinks in terms of hostility and fear, has created and has exacerbated the insanity so much that it becomes more and more difficult all the time. But we can shift the game. We can change the game, and that's what we're looking to do. That's what this work is about. Let's restore human life. Let's restore this awesome, sweet, active presence of love to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And then let's see what happens. So that's the direction we're moving in. And holding the space for everybody who chooses to touch this work to move in. And, Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
Dr. Tim is with us, and he's on.
Well, let's say hello to the young man and see how you be, sir.
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Awesome.
I remember that quote from Einstein from a long time ago, and I haven't thought of it in years. So thank you for bringing that one forward again.
Well, it's the first time I heard it, and Pepito shared it with us this morning, and I immediately looked it up online. It's like, well, there's our radio show for today, you know, especially in the context that Einstein's being interviewed about the general theory of relativity. He says, and here's something far more important than that. And you look at the billions and billions and billions and billions that have been spent in that arena, you know, just look at one reactor, just look at one, you know, one piece of equipment that the money's been spent on. What if we just took a fraction of that money and spent it on human life, spent it on bringing forward human life in the world? How cool, how different would the game be if we listened to Einstein, who said, this question is far more important than relativity. So yeah, it's pretty cool piece of information.
Yeah, and it's a fundamental issue. You know, it's,
at the root of it all.
Yeah, and how many different times have we been in conversations where we're starting from a premise that we believe is true, and we build this elaborate set of reasoning and actions, and we're not getting the results we want, and eventually somebody walks by and says, oh, you know, this fundamental assumption you have here, that may not be right. And when you go down to the fundamental assumption underlying the argument and see it differently, and then everything flows better. Well, if the fundamental premise is you've got to have a bigger gun and you've got to beat people down, and might makes right, and if that's, we have, you know, culture after culture that's built on that, and then we step back and we look and question it and we say, wait a minute, that may not be right. And then you build a whole different structure from that and you get a whole different set of results. Yeah, it's
so then what you're in essence saying, Tim, is that what's really important is that the fun comes before the mental.
There you go.
It's all a mental process. This whole game of hostility and fear is all a mental process. And sooner or later, we got to get out of our minds and back to our souls, back to our being, back to who we are, and function out of that as opposed to this insanity that passes for a culture. I love what Gandhi said when they asked him what he thought about Western civilization. He said he thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah,
and I think
idea.
It really would be a good idea. You know, you look at what Western civilization has done, the slaughter, the trauma, the pain, the insanity. And, you know, one by one, we start to wake up and say, thank you, I think I'll play a different game. I think there's a different game in town. Let's go attend that one. And, you know, things can be changed. So it's certainly an uphill process in this culture, but, you know, we're making headway.
Well, like I said, after watching the documentary Stress, Portrait of a Killer last Thursday, it really, really struck me powerfully. In less than one generation, that baboon troop changed the entire mode of operating without any conscious awareness of it and without any tools. And here we are, much more consciously aware with these powerful tools, and it's exciting to me to think about how quickly that change can come about. And it's very exciting to me, or strikes me as very exciting, that time after time in our support groups, when we have people who come to the groups over a period of time consistently and apply the tools, the comments about the quality of their life changing, it can happen. It is being done on a daily basis. And I find it exciting to think about the fact that I'm just one little support group. And there are support groups popping up all over the place.
Yes. Absolutely. We had a woman at the workshop on Sunday, and she had done my work about 25 years ago back in Atlanta, and it just really changed her life. And that's back when it was kind of primitive compared to today, some of the early worksheets and such. And she has continued to do the work, although I'd lost contact with her over a period of almost a quarter of a century. So she happened to be in St. Petersburg, which, by the way, is where we're speaking all week. We'll be at First Unity in St. Petersburg. If anybody wants to come and join us, we've got a free workshop every evening this week from 7 to 9:30. But this woman came to the workshop on Sunday, and last night she stopped me on the way into the workshop, and she said, "Michael, I can't believe how far this work has come. I just can't believe how crystal clear and how simple you've made it and how straightforward it is. And why aren't you on Oprah every day?" It's like, well, you know, it's maybe not quite time for the masses to start to confront themselves on this level, but I think we're getting close. I think critical mass is right around the corner.
Well, I see more and more signs of it. So whether we actually reach the critical mass today, tomorrow, or the next day, I don't think it's as important as the fact that we're having fun moving in that direction, and more yep. fun, and more loving times, and more joyful times, you know, not just in the support groups, but in the people that I see between the support groups and the people that I hear comment on the show. It's just, it's a fun thing to be involved in for me.
Definitely pretty awesome. It's a privilege, I'll tell you. So often I just sit in wonder and appreciation for what I get to do in the world. So it's pretty cool. And you know, we had a young lady who attended several of the workshops in Tampa last week, and she showed up Sunday again. And she's in a nursing program, and she's sitting listening to these tools and what real healing looks like. And she's like, "I think it might be time for me to quit my nursing training and start to teach this. This looks like a whole lot more important." So it's cool to watch how many people are jumping on board and moving in the direction of, you know, stepping into teaching it. Of course, we're doing teacher training in April here in Florida. It will be the one teacher training class that we do, but it was kind of exciting to see this woman who's, you know, a good part of the way through her medical training, saying, "Gee, maybe I should go into healing instead." How cool would that be?
Very cool indeed.
Yep. Well, let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anything happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up with a question or a thought for us.
Actually, we do have a hand up, but first we have a question here in the room that I'm sitting in. So hold on, I'm going to pass this over to Carrie.
Awesome.
Hey, Michael.
Hey there, it's young funny. Lady. Welcome. We don't get to hear your voice on the show often enough these days.
I know. I haven't been on much lately, have I? I've been living on this fast-paced thing of being a traveling author and getting the book 21st Century Superhuman out to the world. So I was thinking as I was listening to the show today how much I miss it because there's so much good stuff on it. So I'll have to tune in more often.
Hey, well, we appreciate your input when you do tune in. Over the years you've been doing it, but playing with us on the show, your input, your questions, your thoughts have been very much appreciated.
Thank you. Yeah, I know I tell people about the show, and then they'll go listen to the archives, and they'll say, "I heard you on the show." And I'll say, "Yeah, you could call in and ask questions all the time because I needed to learn how to do this well." So in your introduction, you actually brought up something that I have been wondering about. Amazing how that works. In Aramaic, you tell us that Satan is the resistor. And then as you described the society that is operating outside of love, you said this is Satanism. And I would love it if you would just
not quite
address that. Kind of explain that a little bit more. Well, it wasn't quite what you said, so I kind of vaguely heard it, but I would love it if you would enlarge on how Satan is the resistor in the Aramaic and how that operates, and then how it operates as where we're culturally off balance.
Well, first of all, the Aramaic word Satan is a lowercase word. It's not a cap, as the Greeks would have it, like it's the proper name of a creature. It is not. The word means, and of course there are theologies, made-up theologies, just as fallacious as the one that says forgiveness is about letting other people off the hook, are these theologies that put a capital S in front of the word Satan. And of course they've made a decision that it's a dangerous world, and they get to experience it. You know, the people, what was his name? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The people who have this whole belief system about Satan and hell and all that, I don't want to be in their skin when it comes to manifestation, when they actually play that out as they, as creators, will do. You know, it's a tough way to go. But in Aramaic, it's a lowercase word, and it means the resistor, one who misleads. So you'll notice the average person in our culture, when they're in their hostility and fear-based mind, when they're in, you know, in a situation where the stress is up and the chips are down, and you invite them to own what's happening for them, they'll give you a whole story. First of all, they'll go into resistance. Oh, no, you don't understand. This has got to do with what Charlie did. And then they'll give you a whole story about Charlie, which is their mislead that keeps them away from responsibility for what's happening in their lives. My comment about the way the world is working was that it's almost classic Satanism, which is the capital S word, where some dude with the red suit, a tail, and a pitchfork is taken over and running minds. No such creature exists, but it borders. If you really look at how pervasive the hostility and fear is, and how people have been slickly tricked into it, it's almost classic Satanism. But what I mean by that is that the mindset and the mind energy of this non-responsibility and this resistance to owning what we're creating has led us to a world that borders on what the errant theology believes is a capital S Satan. That's what I was speaking of. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. That kind of expands my thinking on it. I appreciate it.
Cool. Awesome.
Okay.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with the book.
Oh, man. You know,
for those who haven't met Carrie Ellis, she's the author of a book, actually two books. One of them is 21st Century Superhuman, and the other one is Super Immunity Secret. So two really awesome books with great material in them. But tell us what's happening with 21st Century, the newest book.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's going on is I'm doing we were doing a blog talk radio show every week, reading the book out loud and then discussing it. And that has since, in the last couple of weeks, become a TV show on something called the CCN Network, which is the Conscious Consumer Network. And we're also doing a second show where we're interviewing featured guests who are living or kind of expressing how we are expressing the 21st century superhuman lifestyle. And this really is about waking up. It's about this push from the cosmos and from our hearts and souls that is inviting us to wake up, and how we make the changes in our lives to live more in our hearts and to become more in alignment with the truth of our hearts and the truth of our being, as you teach it here, which is our true being is love. And so I've been teaching workshops around the country. Was in Michigan for the summer and in Florida for part of the winter. And Unity churches have been really receptive. We've had some really great workshops there, and then also some independently. So if anybody's listening and would like to have us in your community, let us know. I'm on Facebook, Carrie Ellis. It's Carrie Kiristar Ellis on Facebook. The book 21st Century Superhuman can be found on Amazon. And I also have other books on there besides the ones Michael mentioned. And I'm actually in the same area as Michael and Jeannie right now, so getting to see them a little bit and see some of their workshops live, which if anybody's thinking about getting to a live workshop with Michael and Jeannie Rice, it will change your life forever. It is so worth it. And, of course, Michael wrote the foreword to our book, which is wonderful, and we really appreciate your support.
You got it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
okay.
Do you have a website where people can go and find out what your schedule is and order your book from
you directly? Yeah, I'm just in the middle of rebuilding it. It's 21stcenturysuperhuman.com, and a little bit behind the eight ball on that. Our website went down a couple of months ago without a good backup, so I'm just in the middle of rebuilding it. But within the next week or two, there's actually a site up, but it is not very informative at the moment. So within the next couple of weeks, they should be able to get in and see all the things we have going on. I've got somebody working with me on that right now.
Cool. So anybody can communicate with you through the website? Is it that far along that they can call you or email you through it?
Not quite yet. Actually, Facebook is the best place to find me. And I know not everybody's on Facebook, but it's a really easy place where I'm on every day. Again, Carrie, Kira Star Ellis. And I've got a 21st Century Superhuman page there, 21st Century Superhuman Quantum Lifestyle, which is the full title, group. So that's kind of the living, breathing kind of daily interaction that people were kind of dialoguing on a day-to-day basis. But again,
awesome.
The website, 21stcenturysuperhuman.com, they'll be able to catch us there really soon. And we've got a really wonderful team. The workshops we teach are called Jedi trainings, and so we're doing some really cool things.
Awesome. And do you have a projection of where you're going to be in the country if anybody wants to connect with you and invite you in?
We're going to be in Florida until the end of March, Michigan, the early summer, California, and Western states, later summer. August will be in California, and then back to Colorado in September. And we're also doing a little bit of global traveling as well. I'll be in Peru in April. Got a big community emerging down there that I'm connected with. So that's another thing. We're connected with communities emerging worldwide and some really great global movement happening towards developing what we like to call the newer civilization. So kind of growing up grassroots under the feet of this old one.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Well, I'm just delighted and excited to be connected with you and the awesome stuff that you're moving forward in the world. And, you know, having known you for 30 plus years and watched what you've done and how you've just put, and I know I say this from my projection of it, of just putting one foot in front of the other and completing your vision, whatever resistance, whatever insanity comes along to try to block it. It's an interesting journey, isn't it, to make a new path in the world like that.
Yes, and I talk about this every single day. I can't encourage people enough to listen to their own hearts, to begin following the path that their heart is inviting them to go on, instead of just living an old routine that's dead, that there isn't, you know, that they're not happy or comfortable in. Because there's so much good emerging, and it's a really great thing to be part of. So again, with on our 21st Century Superhuman website, we have a lot of different ways that people can connect with what's going on in the world. And I feel like it's so important. I believe we're in what the Mayans called the shift of the ages, the greatest evolutionary leap in human history. And we're all feeling it. We just don't necessarily know what to do. And so this is about that waking up process. What does this mean in my life? And what do I do about it? How do I live in relationship to community, family, my own health and well-being, my own thought process, in order to be part of this movement into a new level of beautiful human existence based more around our design than a structured old culture developed outside of love.
Awesome. Well, it's nice to see how
yeah.
you're moving forward and recognizing and really demonstrating that, you know, each of us can be the difference if we choose to do the work that's required and that each of us has the power to affect change throughout the whole structure of the world by simply tapping into who we really are in a world that gives us messages that would control us and shut us down to become puny and weak and small and tiny-minded. You know, that's the basic, that's one of the ways that people are controlled and kept out of the truth of who they are. And so it's nice to see you just stepping up there and helping to crack open that wall, that limitation, and opening the pathway for more and more people to step forward. Very cool.
Yep, and I would say what quantum physics says is change ourselves, change the entire hologram, which is quantum physics talk that we're living in a giant hologram, but the most important work we can do is within ourselves, and that will really literally change the world. So I send hello and love to all the people I know out there. Sorry, go ahead.
Resonated some brain cells for me. You carry a T-shirt. Last time we saw you gave me one of them, and it says Arc the Hologram. Tell us about that thought.
Well, that was something that came out, you know, when we were writing the book. And because of what I was studying in quantum physics and realizing, Nassim Harriman says we can go into any timeline anywhere in human history, for instance, the persecution of the Jews during the Second World War, the decimation of the Native Americans, or, you know, there's been many genocides throughout history. Rwanda has been a more recent one. But we can literally walk into any one of those timelines with our thought, with our mind and heart, do worksheets, your worksheets, and remove anything within ourselves not of love, and we literally begin to change that entire dynamic on the time-space continuum. And this is just amazing, you know. It's amazing to get that, but to get the level that when we are really doing our inner work, removing blame, fear, rage, hostility, and control, we literally, and in restoring our true divine love, we literally are changing the structure of this reality.
Yes, and if we go back into the ancient Aramaic, they called that process praying for the dearly departed. And it had nothing to do with being down on our hands and knees saying nice words about something, that it really was truly about doing our inner work, and that we are changing the whole dynamic of the game. And everybody has the power to do that. Kings don't like for people to know that, but each and every one of you that's listening to the show has the power to do that. And in each in their own way, according to their own skills, their own inclinations, and their own purpose. And so that's one of the reasons we do the workshop, Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment, is to invite people to align with who they are, who they really, truly are, and to bring into expression who they are, because that's what's needed in the world today.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And that's fantastic. I love that. Praying for the dearly departed. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, that we're literally, by clearing ourselves, we're clearing our generations, we're clearing a resonance in human history. And it's really a beautiful thing to do.
Yes. Yes, there are actually some physics experiments that are looking like, which, of course, because we think the timeline goes in only one direction, but there are experiments in the world of physics that at least are hinting and looking at the fact that we can change the past, and that, you know, perhaps there's a bigger game going on in the universe than our little 9-bit minds can conceive of. You know, some interesting Harvard research that says in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, we get to see 9 bits of data, and of course the data we get to see has to be in alignment with our own BS, our own belief systems. And that maybe the universe works differently, and maybe this timeline has got more to do with the hologram and the possibilities than it does to do with the ABC linear thinking that we've been trained into, and that we have a whole lot more power to change the game than we ever thought.
Absolutely. That power is within us. Cool. Thank you so much, and thank you and Jeannie for all that you're doing. It's wonderful. I'm so grateful to be part of it.
Appreciated you coming to the intensive we did in Michigan and doing the food. That was fabulous. All right. Well, let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anything else happening in the chat room or anybody
well,
with a
handout. Well, in our conversation in the chat room, kind of just went right along with what you were talking about, and we actually have three hands up. So the first one is area code 541. Is this Miss Julie? Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Hello, Julie. Hey there, young lady.
Hi. Hey.
Welcome.
I have good news.
You got Miss Julie with you today?
No, I did call her. I did call her to see if she could come on, and she had some activity going on at the home where she lives. So I'll just keep calling her, and one of these days we'll get her in.
Cool. Awesome.
In the air. And she appreciates it, and she's sort of recalling that it was something good that she liked, but she's not remembering for sure, but that's okay. She's open.
Right.
But I have really good news about what you and Carrie and Dr. Tim and we've been talking about, how changes can happen in the world, and people are really taking hold and making a difference. I live in Oregon, and one of our most famous rivers, the Klamath River, has been basically overused and abused and kind of beat up and not able to really serve the whole community like it once did, mainly because there's so much demand on it and there are things that we've done mistakenly. So there's a whole coalition of people that have come together in Oregon and California, Northern California. It's right at the border, and the river weaves through both borders quite a few times. And people have gotten together, and money is backing it to take care of the river and heal the river and clean it up and do what's right, regardless of what has happened in the past. And the guy, there's a man. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, websites to give. There's a man who has been in the Oregon legislature for quite a few years and did actually run for governor one of these more recent elections. And he decided to make a film instead of write a book, and he got the best filmmakers and a lot of supporters. In fact, he makes a comment that most of the supporters come from the eastern parts of the nation who are really interested in saving our wilderness out here and setting up a standard and a prototype of how to do this, how to turn things around. And so they're meeting it on all arenas, even legislatively. You know, there are things that are due to expire in the next 60 days, and they said we're in it for the long haul. We have no doubt that we will, you know, stay on this. Okay, so whatever needs to be done as it comes up. And he even made a comment that it is amazing that people are actually practicing the Beatitudes, that they're actually dropping their grievances. And there's like 42 different groups, including tribes throughout the area and farmers and all kinds of communities that have needed this water and are seeing the damage and to wildlife and all kinds of things and the pollution. And, you know, and it's a salmon river. You know, talk about your story about the salmon.
Right.
Anyway, so I know I kind of speak fragmentedly, especially when I get excited. And I'm working on my language, but I'm excited about this. And there's a movie that he's done that is coming out. It's premiering soon. He's not sure where, but they have a plan as to how they're going to move it across to the audiences in the nation and probably the world. So they're really on top of it. They've got everything in place. And his name, first and foremost, is Jason. It's spelled like it usually is. His middle initial, A, and his last name, Atkinson, Atkinson, .com. That's his website. And then there's also the title of the movie where you can see a trailer. The movie is called A River Between Us.
Mm-hmm.
A River Between Us, .in and .com. Yeah, and then where I heard of it was today on a radio show here that I listen to. It's an NPR radio station, but we have our own station here in Southern Oregon called Jefferson Public Radio. And you can go to the direct route is just to you'll be able to hear him interviewed and learn a lot. The interviewer person is a very good, capable interviewer, and we get a lot of shows like this. So I recommend this to be a daily dose for anybody who wants it. You go to Facebook.com and then / Jefferson Exchange. And Jefferson stands for the state of Jefferson, which is a state of mind here, and also an effort was made years ago, and it sometimes percolates up again to create a state, an actual separate or new state of Southern Oregon and Northern California. I'm not sure what the exact borders would be, but there's been a movement from time to time to create a state of Jefferson. So.
Awesome. Very
so
cool.
So that's what I just want to say.
Well, let me say that while you put yourself down a little bit about how you get excited and things are not coherent, everything you said was very coherent and understandable. So you might want to do a worksheet and let go of that one. And I just went to ariverbetweenus.com, and I love it. I love the opening phrase right on the front page. It says, in order to save a river, you must first heal a people. How awesome is that?
Isn't that awesome? I'm glad you noticed that. I meant to mention it.
I
know.
Wow. Yes.
And also, Michael, this
a politician.
Is what this also,
how cool is that?
I know. It's just transcending in so many levels because the work we do is rippling out, and we have gotten gotten us gathered together using the correct language to understand what Jesus was teaching, and it's trickling out. And even if they have the Greek translation of the Beatitudes, you know, on the level where it's wordless, people get it, and we're all on that same page, and there are people making a difference. And so are we, however it looks each day.
Oh.
So yay.
Very
okay.
Cool. Thank you for tapping us into that. I'm going to follow up and find that movie and make sure that we do what we can to support it getting out there because it's a powerful, especially with the thought that the recognition is it's the people that need healed to save the river. That's pretty enlightening.
Also, Michael, I don't know how to do it exactly. I've been wanting to talk to you first, but the man who runs the Jefferson Exchange, and it's on from you can go into the archive and listen to it, but we hear it out here on the West Coast from 8 to 10 a.m. weekdays.
Right.
So his name is Jeffrey Riley, spelled with a G, Jeffrey Riley. And I have been thinking for a couple of years now to get you on one of his interviews, as an author of a book or, the whole thing. And also, I actually do want to get you out here again. And I have just in this last week committed to doing a support group. Again, I keep recommitting until it really is going to materialize, and I feel that this time it is. So I really want to get you out here again. He would be good promo for you once we did have it scheduled in, but even before that, it'd be so great for you to be interviewed by him. So
well,
I could
instead
probably
of thinking about it. Instead of thinking about it, get on the phone, call him, and set it up. And
yeah,
we'll
I guess that's what
that
I would.
Be awesome.
Okay. So what would be the step once I get him interested? Would I just give him your phone number?
Give him my phone number. Tell me. Tell him to go to the website and read the book. Look at the videos on the website. Tell him to check it out.
Yeah, okay.
And Lord, just give me a call. Let's have a conversation. That would be awesome.
All right.
Thank you. Very cool.
Okay, there's a
All
lot
right.
of
appreciate
really...
appreciate what you're doing. And we're looking at, for next year, when we finish Heartland in September, we're looking at heading down south into the panhandle of Florida. It's not confirmed yet, but it looks like that's what's going to happen. And then from there, we're probably going to head west. So, we may make it up as far as Oregon if things are rocking and rolling, and we've got enough people to draw us in that direction.
So you said that would be after the end of September?
Yes. Yeah, once our intensive season's finished. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Well, I'll keep that in mind, and we'll see how this works. I really want to share something else with you. In starting a support group and reaching this commitment this time in myself, I actually had to let go of what I thought it would look like or should look like, and all these people that I thought I should invite to it and all of that. And I had to just let go and trust that Holy Spirit would send people to me. You know, as long as I'm committed, they'll show up. It's like, you know, if you build it, they will come. So people have been just walking up to me energetically, like at the grocery store, and we kept crossing paths. And we kept going, well, we must need to talk because we keep running into each other. And, you know, and so I just share it. And it's a whole new, it's a field that's attracting people that I never knew before, instead of it just being my own circle of people here.
Cool.
So
awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Definitely hitting critical mass. We're definitely getting closer. That's awesome.
I think
good
so,
input.
Yes. All right, I'll let you go to somebody else. Thank you.
Okay,
Julie, before you go away, Carrie wanted to know what that website was again.
Oh, okay.
Riverbetweenus.com. I've got it here on my phone, riverbetweenus.com, and it has the name of the Atkinson. Jason, his name's on there, so jasonatkinson.com, and then riverbetweenus, and we'll see what
I really
want to support it.
I need to call to your attention, it's Jason A. Atkinson. So there's two A's in there.
The
That's
website.
His middle initial. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Well, let's get in touch with him. You know, the fact that he's setting up to save the river by healing people, he needs healing tools. Let's get in touch with him and ask him to tap into the tools, and let's have a conversation about forgiveness, because that's the one that's going to move things to the next level, is that forgiveness process.
Oh, I just got a total happiness breath when you were speaking that. It's true. Let's talk to them.
Let's go for it. We've got the tools, and we'd be happy to share them. All right. Blessings. Take care.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
How cool is that?
Callers.
There's so many awesome things happening in the world.
So
sweetie, anybody with a hand up?
Okay, we've got a delay apparently. We're talking on top of each other. Yes, the first one is area code 901. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Brenda.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I was going to make a comment about the conversation yesterday on the sniper. And I had here in Memphis on the library channel, they read books in the afternoon. One of the books they were reading a few months ago was The Sniper. And it was my reaction to it was very interesting, similar to what you said about the movie. I'm not sure if I'm going to go see the movie or not. I did not hear the entire part of the book. I got busy with other things. But then your comments on, you had made a comment a while back, some years ago, in one of the groups, that the chosen drug of Americans is rage. You know, that's the rage that we have. And I had noticed when I was overseas, and also as I listened to the BBC and on their Outlook program, which is at 6 o'clock in the morning here, and they talk about all the wonderful things that are happening around the world, and then at 7 o'clock they go into what's actually happening now. But I had noticed that when I would leave the boundaries of the United States and go into other countries, not necessarily the European countries, but into Southeast Asia and the Eastern countries, that there is not the same level of rage that I notice when I'm here. And so I think they deal with life in a different way. And I think the drug of choice here is rage. And I don't know how the Western world is, well, this is the process that's going through it, but I think that in other places in the world that the process, it may be working or is other than those who are in the particular violent activities, that the general populace does not have the same kind of rage that we hold here. Let me see, and I think I've lost my train of thought.
Let me plug in, and maybe you can tap back into it. But just some thoughts that triggers for me. Back several years ago, we were out actually in Oregon, and we finished some work in California, and we're heading north. And we got an email from a woman who was a student of a Tibetan monk out there who had an ashram, and this Tibetan monk had been ill and gone to a healing center, and they had 10 of my video cassettes. And he started watching them and would not leave until he finished watching them, and then told his students that he wanted to meet me and learn what we knew. We just happened to be going literally within 2 hours of his door, about 3 days, and we had a four-day hole in our schedule. The man, they call him Kenpo, which means professor. He's from the Dzogchen School of Tibet. And he's considered to be, in the Tibetan tradition, the verified reincarnation of the Buddha of Wisdom. So we went off track. We had 4 days clear in our schedule. We went to spend time with him. Excuse me. And the why process to him privately. And then when we finished teaching the why process, he asked if I would teach it to his whole community. So we did it the second time the next day. He had centers in Portland and in... Jeannie, do you remember other cities? I always drop that city. Anyway, in two cities nearby. And asked if, on our way north, we would stop and do a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop in each of his centers. So the next day we taught it again, a third time in 3 days, he's in the workshop. The fourth day, we're in Portland, and the community there mostly speaks Tibetan. So I taught the workshop in English, and he taught it in Tibetan, and it was just awesome. But he said something that I did not understand as we were leaving there. He said, you know, this piece of technology is so important, and we don't have anything like it in Buddhism. And he said, when we were in Tibet, we didn't need it, which I did not understand when he said that. I just didn't get it. But back, we were actually out in Washington State last year, and some friends of ours had invited us to come out and spend time at their cottage, which we did, and they had a video called The Lost Boys of the Sudan. And it's a very powerful video to watch. And basically, there are over 2 million people in the Sudan who have been murdered by the fundamentalists in the north have gone in and just wiped out the southern, basically, Christian communities. And these boys were on the run for 2 years, on foot. They watched their parents, their friends being slaughtered, and literally ran and walked for 2 years before they got out of the Sudan and settled. And then they had another, I forget how long the time period was, where they were moved to still another country. And they're in the wilderness, and they're simply, you know, sharing life with each other, but at least they've got food and they're alive. But what really struck me in this Lost Boys of the Sudan was that there was not a word of retribution against what they'd seen. There was not a word of violence or viciousness carried on their lives as human beings. It was just amazing. And I understood what Temple was saying about they didn't need it. There was not that kind of rage in the community. And it was interesting because there were church groups that brought these young men over to be educated in America, and they came to this wonderful place where everybody's got everything. But what they found is that they were so busy and they had to work so hard that there was no community left. It destroyed their community. So interesting. We got all this stuff, but how hard do you have to work for it? And what happens to relationship which is what they experienced themselves losing. So it was powerful from several directions. But yeah, I hear you loud and clear about going to those other countries where that isn't there. And that's what I got out of the conversation finally as I watched this video. It's like, oh, that's what Kempo meant. We didn't need this tool.
Right. I think that it's not in the – and I'm trying to evaluate why here where we have the abundance of everything that we have this amount. And I think that perhaps more than any other place that the fear of something – we've had it so well good here that the thought of losing what we have, or we're not used to having bad hair days. And so I think that raises...
Well, I think it's about protecting. It's about, I think it comes from protecting what you've got and developing a whole mindset as Einstein said, and you know, in our opening, we have to make a choice about how we see the world. Are we going to see it as an unfriendly or friendly place? And that's going to determine how we experience it. And once there's loss and one doesn't know how to forgive the content of the mind around loss, then hostility grows, and it just layer upon layer. And when there's no tool with which to remove that virus from the mind, it becomes cumulative, generation upon generation upon generation. And
it,
you know, it's just time for us to restore our minds to the presence of love and recognize that that's the really valuable stuff.
And I remember the point I was going to make, but I'm going to call in tomorrow and make that point because we're running out of time right now. I did have a question to ask you on the Mind Goal Management Worksheet, if I might,
yes.
If we've got a minute. When I got down to the point, you had to fill out some documents, and I've just been resisting filling them out. I just did not want to, and so I put them down as a framed goal, and then I set the goal this morning, and it says that each intention to be carried out by each goal is linked to love. And I wrote under there, "Nick, I don't see any love in this. I have to." But then I came back and I went, "Okay, it will give me peace of mind when I get done." So maybe you could adjust really quickly when you set a goal that you know that needs to be done, but you really aren't putting it in love.
Well, here would be my take that, and I think I know the circumstance you're speaking about, that the external force that's forcing you into doing this is certainly not connected to love. And I hear that the documents don't have to love. But can, if I choose to voluntarily or involuntarily go under the control of that external force, am I going to maintain my human life and link that goal to love because I choose to do it, not because I'm being forced to? You know, there's that game of propitiation, the T.S. Eliot, doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Am I going to choose to do it if I feel like, you know, considering all things, this is something I just need to do, then I can choose to connect to love and bring this forward, conceive of it in love and bring it forward into the world in love and change whoever I'm handing it to because of the energy I chose to put behind it.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I will call in tomorrow with my other comments.
All right, young lady. Well, we're down to the last few seconds, so we appreciate your input. And thank everybody for your input to the show. I really love that healing the river out there in Oregon and having to heal the people first. And let's see how we can support that whole process. It's absolutely awesome. Dr. Tim, we appreciate you being in our world. And we hold the space for everybody to have the best year yet of your eternal lives. Give that gift to the world. It's an awesome thing to do. Blessings and love. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.yagain.com. www.whyagain.com.
Continuously, 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 continuously.